process to address, finally, the difficult questions on America's fiscal challenges. Economist Simon Johnson hopes one is emerging. But what some others see emerging is a systematic attempt to avoid really basic questions about social justice in America, which they say lie at the basis of this crisis. Addressing economic inequality and the growing population of people in poverty in America, all that is being pushed out of the conversation, according to our next guest. Tavis Smiley is the co-host of the Smiley and West radio program, author of The Rich and the Rest of Us, a Poverty Manifesto. Tavis Smiley wants this election to be about setting aside the partisan rhetoric and beginning a national dialogue on going at the really difficult social questions about poverty and pay equity in America. It's a bigger cliff, he says, and millions have already fallen off of it.
Poor people are being rendered more and more invisible every day. I suspect in part, John, because they don't vote at the level of the elite, because they don't contribute to campaigns, because they don't have lobbyists lined up and down K Street to represent their point of view. I don't know. What I do know is that poverty is threatening our very democracy. As I've said before, poverty is now a matter of national security. And now more than ever, as you well know, all the data indicates that we ought to be having a conversation about poverty, about this growing gap between the rich and the rest of us, between the have-gots and the have-nots. And so what we're calling for this time specifically and uniquely is for the president of the United States, Barack Obama, the moment he gets inaugurated, to make a priority the convening of a White House conference to eradicate poverty in this country. Use the bully pulpit of the White House to bring together these poverty fighters all across the country, John, from both sides of the aisle, to craft a national plan to cut poverty in half in 10 years, to get close to eradicating it in 25. This can be done, but the president needs to make it a priority if he wants to have the kind of legacy that he can be proud of.
But getting the smart people together, getting the powerful people together, and nailing down some sort of compromise to deal with serious fiscal and social problems, that sounds like exactly what everyone's calling for to deal with the fiscal cliff. We're not seeing it there. Right. Why?
This fiscal cliff now is the same conversation we had 2 years ago. And here we are again, because we keep trying to put Band-Aids on very complex diseases, very complex and deep illnesses we think we can cover with a Band-Aid. And what we're suggesting is, where poverty is concerned, we have to first make it a priority. At least the fiscal cliff is a priority. We got to first make poverty a priority and then bring the experts together to craft and create a national long-term plan to reduce it and ultimately eradicated in the richest nation in the world.
But let's take a look at the cliff for a second. How many people do you estimate, and does the government estimate, are actually in poverty or below the poverty line?
The numbers that the Census Bureau gives us are about 50 million people living in poverty right now. That's enough. That's too many, 50 million. But there are about 150 million if you add people who are in or near poverty. Again, census numbers, not Tavis numbers.
So then who's going to be falling off this cliff if 150 million are already at the bottom? That's what I don't understand.
Sure. And it's a brilliant question. And that's why the short answer to your question is the fiscal cliff is what I refer to as the so-called fiscal cliff. So many millions of Americans, John, have already gone over the fiscal cliff. So it's not about going over a cliff. It's about austerity masquerading as a conversation about a so-called fiscal cliff.
What's the political trigger then if there is 150 million people either in poverty or at risk? Mm-hmm. And they're already there. And we already saw last week that the unemployment numbers mostly tell the story of people falling off the labor force entirely, just becoming too discouraged and not deciding to go to work.
Right.
What's the political signal that people have had enough? Who's going to deliver it if these people have been on the bottom for a while and we haven't really heard from them politically, or the message isn't getting out? Where's the urgency for someone like Barack Obama?
It doesn't exist unless and until he is pushed. Great presidents aren't born, they're made. They got to be pushed into their greatness. There is no Lincoln without Frederick Douglass pushing him. There is no FDR without A. Philip Randolph and Eleanor Roosevelt pushing him. He isn't going to get to being a more progressive president unless he's pushed. Poverty ought to be at the top of that agenda. And not just me, but you and all the rest of us, fellow citizens, have to take on that spirit of Frederick Douglass and push this president to put poverty at the top of the American agenda.
Tavis Smiley, TV and radio host and New York Times bestselling author of The Rich and the Rest of Us, A Poverty Manifesto. He'll be hosting and moderating a nationally televised discussion, Vision for a New America, A Future Without Poverty, on Thursday, January 17th on PBS and C-SPAN. Check your local listings for airtimes. Thanks, Tavis.
Thank you, John.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.